Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. June 18th, 2022. I am back. The Don Tony Show live. I want to thank you very much for joining me. Forewarning, I have a little bit of a cold. Was pretty sick Thursday. Feel a lot better today, but, you know, shit happens. What are you going to do? Oh, so how's everybody's weekend going? Not too much going on in the world of pro wrestling. yeah, we got a few things to get into. If you check out the description of tonight's show, you will see that there are far few topics, but some very big ones planned. Obviously, we're going to talk about Vince McMahon in real, honest terms, not this agenda-based, suddenly everybody, you know, seems to not understand the difference between misconduct and sexual misconduct. And I'm not saying that misconduct is cool. We'll talk about that, but we'll get into it. We'll get into Stephanie McMahon as the interim CEO. Now you realize how stupid, moronic those rumors were that Stephanie was forced out, that the MLW, if she was forced out because of the MLW lawsuit, now you make her this temporary CEO and possibly permanent CEO for a $1 billion company. The stock would have tanked. The investors, if they bought, like I always tell you, please, I know most of you listen to me, but there's so many of you that still just want to be titillated with bullshit news. If you don't see the financial world talking about controversy behind Stephanie going home, MLW loss and everything else, it's not true. These wrestling websites are on the outside looking in. Hell, they all prematurely ejaculated the last 5 days about Sasha Banks being released. Until WWE makes a statement, until Sasha Banks makes a statement, I don't give a fuck who you talk to. Unless you say, I just got off the phone with Sasha Banks. Oh, excuse me. As people are doing now, I just got off the phone with Mercedes. She told me she is gone from WWE. What happened to the guy that was so close to both of them that was telling us about how earlier in the day, what happened to him? He doesn't know a thing. That guy I probably would trust. And look, Sasha Banks, I really believe, is likely gone. But this obsession to be on the record, these Matarazzas think that because they are first, if they end up going on record that they were first to break the story, I don't care if 90,000 sites say blahblahblah.com broke the story. You think I'm going to suddenly like tune into their stuff? You think I'm suddenly going to watch or listen or read their stuff? You know, there's a reason why a lot of these places have to create so much bullshit news in the first place, because there's 100 million news sites out there and podcasts. Everybody is fighting to get your attention. They hate Vince McMahon so much, but they're tweeting 100,000 times about it because they know people will read them. People will see it. The Jeff Hardy arrest. Now, because the footage is out there, hey, you got it. You see right through it. But I'm going on record. I'm going on record right now. When WWE releases Commander Aziz and Dana Brooke and Giovanni Vinci, sounds like a cough or a sneeze or allergic reaction. When they let him go, and I don't want to see any of them really go, but you see the writing on the wall. My sources tell me that WWE is looking to release several more people in 2022. See how the sources just mean? Please, that Stephanie stuff was beyond laughable. when you don't see the stock market react to it, when you don't see the business world react to it. But obviously today, the topic is Vince McMahon. And yes, we will briefly cover SmackDown, Rampage. Ooh, what's this with Jeff Hardy? Ooh. Anybody notice how everybody doesn't want to break the story as far as whose car was Jeff Hardy driving? Who? Anybody notice suddenly nobody wants to post the quarter hour ratings breakdown for AEW Dynamite? You see the selective journalism? When it fits an agenda, when they know that certain stories are going to create enemies online, they're 5 days late. They're 2 days late. In the case of Jake Atlas, they're almost a period late, which would be a month. You know, the selective journalism, you see right through it. So I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have all the details yet about Jeff Hardy in the vehicle, but I got some. I got some no one else is reporting. So we'll get into that a little bit. Before we talk about Vince, I have to do this. Besides, rest in peace, Dave Hepner. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Friends, please try to make me understand. Please try to make me understand. How the fuck is suddenly this guy suck? How the fuck are people suddenly saying, oh my God, I don't want to see that? Yet, if Bryan Danielson fights Daniel Garcia, these same people will be like, I mean, look, let's be honest here. They fought 6 times before. This is one of the biggest rivalries of this generation. So, yeah, we're getting it again. I could see if the matches suck. I could see if it's the last laugh match. Since when Brock Lesnar returning, does it suddenly suck? Oh, why? Because he's taking on Roman Reigns? Everybody knows Roman Reigns is going to lose ultimately to either Cody or Drew McIntyre. Maybe Seth Rollins. So what do you want in the meantime? Sami Zayn, I'll take it. You mean to tell me this is going to suck? And what happens if we get a twist? What happens if we get a twist in this match? Guy made his return yesterday, and I'm thinking about all his promos. I'm thinking about the crazy matches. I'm thinking about how he has entertained the fuck out of me the last 2 years. And suddenly people are like, oh, no. Awful, 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 awful. All right. Yeah, they're getting their... Look, Brock Lesnar lost his title. He's not entitled to a rematch.
But DT, they said no rematches are not guaranteed.
This motherfucker is one of the top viewing wrestlers, draws the most audience. Has kicked ass the last couple of years. And people are going to bitch and complain. Most of the people that bitch and complain fucking hate WWE anyway. So just use this as another reason to shit on WWE. I am stoked that Brock Lesnar is back. And yes, if you remember 2-3 weeks ago, we said with Cody out, Brock Lesnar is on the fast track to a return. Not breaking news. Sausage. Explain to me why people are complaining that he returns. They're not even just complaining about, oh, another Roman Reigns match again. But they're complaining that he's back. Oh, fucking other. Shut up. Seriously, shut the fuck up. Now, I'm sorry for being a little vulgar. I know a lot of people are like, oh, we want the old school Don Tony back. I'll be honest with you. For what I've seen over the last month, especially in the podcast and the journalist world, and even more, a lot of two-faced people talking shit behind my back, I'm like, you know what? Fuck everybody else. Let's just give the best, most fun shows here, and if people want to tune in, great. If they don't want to tune in, fine as well. And, you know, it doesn't help when you get deals like this. and Blue Wire. Big shout out to Pro Wrestling TV and Blue Wire. Pro Wrestling TV is hosting the Triple Mania pay-per-view tonight. So if you want to go check that out, it's only $19.95. You go to Pro Wrestling TV. Links are all over the place. So, all right. Without further ado, let's talk about Mr. McMahon. And by the way, I saw somebody really enjoyed my thumbnail for tonight's show. Where's my thumbnails? Don't tell me I closed my thumbnails. I think. Oh, no, no, no. Booty men. Booty men. Yeah, we did a variation of this not too long ago. Man, did that thumbnail age well. Remember with Johnny Ace and Athena, the former Ember Moon? Yes, who asked? I think this was Giuseppe. Yes, I specifically set up this thumbnail to make it look like Vince is grabbing something on the couch. I don't want to say what that is. I got to be careful. Sasha Banks is kind of pointing at somebody's little pee-pee. And Johnny Ace with this look on his face like, oh, did you say yes? Oh, my God, did you say yes? Listen, I joked yesterday. Maximum Male Models did not happen yesterday. I think that's because Johnny Ace was not at SmackDown. Put Johnny Ace in Maximum Male Models. Bring him out as the first person in Maximum Male Models. Look, I don't envy these guys. I'm not a particular fan of Johnny Ace. And I don't condone Vince McMahon doing misconduct. But you see other wrestlers who have cheated on their wives, cheated on their husbands, some people who have been accused of breaking up families, and because it's their favorite wrestlers, you know, it's a little bit of a pass. Vince McMahon, there is a crusade. There is a crusade going on right now online trying to dox the female, trying to get everybody to contact the board of directors to remove Vince McMahon. Here's the cliff notes of what happened. Vince McMahon, 73 years old, still loves to fuck. Still loves to fuck younger women. Vince McMahon has had a lot of infidelity in his life. Vince McMahon had a consensual relationship with a former paralegal. But DT, she came in and made $100,000. And then the next year she made $200,000. Well, when you get hired as a paralegal in an office environment, you usually start with a base salary. And then when you improve it, you prove yourself and show yourself. What do you think? Because she blew out the pink candle, she got $100,000 increase? We don't know. We don't know who authorized the raise. It's just everybody is turning this into a Lifetime movie. Vince McMahon had consensual sex with a former employee. When the employee was let go because of COVID and because she was no longer needed, there was a very uneasy environment. There was a threatening environment that she was going to make public their relationship. Vince McMahon, for the sake of his wife, I know it sounds fucked up, for the sake of his wife, for the sake of his family, for the sake of the business, for the sake of the McMahon, you know, conglomerate, universe, he took out of his own personal bank account $3 million and gave it to the woman. Gave it to her in January. What usually happens when you give hush money? Sooner or later, the person leaks it anyway. And let's be honest, paralegal making $100,000 a year, even $200,000 a year, is probably not extremely well off. They're not millionaires. You come into $3 million and it looks like a bad scene in Goodfellas. Don't buy anything. The fuck, I told you, don't buy anything.
And she comes home with a mink coat. She comes home with a brand new Cadillac. She comes home with a giant diamond ring. She buys a fucking house. She pays off all her bills. And you don't think somebody's going to say, where'd you get the money? Where'd you get the money? And she confides in someone. And you know how it is these days. Look, you got to promise me I don't say anything. But no, I won't say anything. And then next thing you know, it leaks out. I would never pay anybody NDAs. Seriously. When I get bullshit threats online, I don't tweet about it most of the time. I call the cops. I get their information, send them an anonymous letter in the mail. I know where you fucking live. I got all your information. Don't fuck with me. And 9 times out of 10, they disappear. The bottom line is, Vince McMahon, at 73 or 74, he's now 76. This happened 2 to 3 years ago, probably 3 years ago. 73 years old. My dad is 73 years old. He turned 73 in January. My dad, I look at him, he is my hero. My dad has never cheated on my mother. I still think my dad looks like a damn good looking man. And if I was 73 years old and single, I hope that I have that sexual prowess that I still want to do it. Hell, 53, I'm like, not tonight. Fucking genetic jackhammer, 73, still wants to do it. So as a man and as someone who, you get older and your testosterone goes up, I don't know how many cases of ageless male that Vince McMahon has taken. But Vince McMahon still loves to have sex. Does anybody honestly think that Vince McMahon and Linda McMahon have had a very celibate, close, intimate relationship for decades? People are acting like they don't have a fucking clue. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This has been beat more than you could imagine. Vince McMahon has had, people forget the alleged incidents in the tanning salon. I'm not saying forget the 80s, but we want to stay more towards the last, let's say, 20 years. Vince McMahon has slept with women. Vince McMahon took his own money and gave this woman $3 million in hush money because he didn't want this out in the public. And it ended up out in the public anyway. For those that want a little bit more specifics, and if you look, I'm not even looking at notes. I don't need to look at notes because what happened is very, very easy to explain. She got let go. There was threats made that she was going to expose their relationship. Vince agreed to give her $3 million out of his own personal money. I would think Linda McMahon probably has access to all of Vince's bank accounts. I'm sure she didn't say, what did you do with $3 million?
I went to the track. Lost it.
I'm sure it was not paid in cash. This is not a deal with Iran. I'm sure a cashier's check was made. So, let's be a little honest here. Most of these McMahons may have already known about this affair, that's what you call it. It's an affair. So I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that this is appropriate. This is a billion-dollar company. Vince McMahon is a majority owner of this company. Vince McMahon is the CEO. That is not behavior that is accepted in a billion-dollar publicly traded corporate company. If you go on WWE's corporate website and you look at the board of directors, and there's 12 of them, 4 of them are McMahons. You have 1/3 that are already, if you consider Triple H a McMahon as well. Well, actually 3, and then you got Nick Khan, so that's 4. But, Vince McMahon, like I said, people are acting like Vince has never done this before. And I'm not saying that just because he's done it before makes it okay. Let me stress a couple of things here. And if you think that this is far-fetched, that is your right. People are using this as their last attempt to finally grab Vince McMahon by the jugular and get him out of WWE. There's a lot of people that hate Vince McMahon. They hate that he is like this with Donald Trump. They hate that he has turned, for some people, pro wrestling into a circus. They hate the jealousy of the position that he's in. Some of his storylines over the years have absolutely disgusted me. But people out there, this is their last shot. This man is not going to live to be 100. This is their last legitimate, legal attempt to get Vince McMahon out of WWE. And they think somehow Stephanie is going to be a 180 of Vince. Just like Triple H. You remember all those people that treated Triple H like an outcast? That WWE was erasing his legacy, treating him like a clown? You look back on it and realize how horrendously, pathetically stupid and wrong and agenda-based. If you take notice online, the people in news power, podcast, websites, those that are just absolutely obsessed with this story are the ones that hate WWE more than anything else. They are going to do everything possible because they don't like him. They don't like creative. They don't like Kevin Dunn. They don't like John Laurinaitis. They don't like Vince McMahon. They don't like the how things are used. They don't like his power. They don't like he's a Republican. They don't like he's close with Donald Trump. They don't like how he gets away with things. They don't like that he's a billionaire. They don't like that he is a rich white billionaire. So Vince McMahon, wasn't it just a couple of months ago that a lot of these same people were gushing over the interview with Pat McAfee? They were gushing over the interview with Pat McAfee. Oh, it was amazing, incredible, awesome. Wow, you're telling me that it was awesome to see a spectacular interview with a piece of shit, because that's what they all call Vince McMahon right now. He's a piece of shit. The reason why they're focused on this $100,000 is because Vince gave money out of his own pocket. So they can't nail him for paying this woman out of his own pocket. If Vince wants to give me $3 million, he can. Vince could do whatever he wants with his private money. The problem is, if you're a wrestler and you have relations with another wrestler, that's fine. When you're an executive and a CEO of a billion-dollar company, that is not behavior bestowed on World Wrestling Entertainment. But you see, that's not enough. If people would just focus on Vince McMahon, despite his history of doing this, at 73 years old, it is inappropriate for him to be having relations with an employee, and leave it at that, because that is pretty much a fact. That's pretty much a fact. The extra $100,000, all these other things, passing her to John Laurinaitis, this is consensual. I'm not going to demean this woman. Maybe she liked to have sex with Johnny Ace. Oh, they passed her like a toy. Until she fucking says they pass me around like a toy. You know, who's saying this? People that absolutely despise Vince McMahon and WWE. If Vince has had a flurry of affairs in recent years, hear me closely. Vince McMahon should permanently step down as CEO of WWE. I'm telling you that. I'm not saying that he should stay. But let the investigations happen. I want you to realize something. I don't know if anybody thought about this the last 24 hours. What they're doing right now towards Vince McMahon on a bigger scale is what they did about Velveteen Dream. When Velveteen Dream, when those accusations came in, we talked about it many times. They asked Velveteen Dream, are you sure you didn't do this? Turned in his phone. They sent it out to an outside investigation. to have them run forensics and to pull this and pull this. And Velveteen Dream, I'm not defending him. I'm just telling you facts. He signed off. He gave permission to have all this done. Because without a warrant, you can't do it, you know, especially outside of law enforcement, unless you sign off on it. They paid an outside company to check this. There are people that do this. They do background checks. They do lots of things. And it came back that it was true. The problem is the internet wrestling community was not going to accept that. And Triple H made one attempt to publicly say, look, we checked everything out. We hired outside people. We didn't jailbreak the phone ourselves and look. We didn't use Bleach Bit. They sent it out to an outside company. That's what these companies do. So they took this, they sent it to an outside company, and now they're doing their investigations. And when you see certain people, I don't want to mention their names, and look, if they have a vendetta against WWE, I respect that. I don't agree with it. I think it's pretty sad, but I respect it. But when they're saying that this $100,000 is the only shot to getting him out of office, they're not looking for the facts. They need it to be true. They want it to be true. It has to be true. That's not how investigations go. I don't care who I despise in podcast land. If I heard that they were accused of something, you know, I'm not going to sit back and say, oh, they have to be guilty. They got to be guilty. I want them to be guilty. No, you let it play out. And then if they're found guilty, then we can fucking shit all over them. So there are people out there, no is not an answer. In my opinion, if Vince McMahon hadn't an affair with this woman, there are many others out there. There are many others out there. And the question is, does he get removed as CEO? Let me say it one last time. If they find that this $100,000 was improperly paid, that this raise was improper, if they see a pattern that other employees in similar fields were not given similar raises and Hearst stands out, we'll know about it. The business world will know. Every business outlet has picked up on this story. They didn't pick up on Stephanie being forced out. They didn't pick up on Stephanie being forced out because of inept or MLW or anything like that, but they picked up on this because there is a legitimate story behind this. Let it play out. Let it play out. Whatever the findings are, again, it is an outside company. It's an outside investigation. This billion-dollar company is hired. I'm not going to pull all the references. You could look it up yourselves. But if you check out the multiple, not just one, the multiple outside companies that they have hired to do this investigations, if it comes back that Vince McMahon, you know, other than having a consensual sexual relationship with an employee or maybe more, if that's all they can find, you have to accept that. And you know that all of the people that seem like just like personally offended, like just personally, like there's a weird anger going on. They're not going to accept it. I'm going to let the investigation play out. But, you know, it should be no shock to anybody that Vince McMahon loves to have sex with women and has had sex with women, has had many, many female partners outside of the marriage. If anything, I find John Laurinaitis' actions, if proved true, even worse. His wife had brain cancer during that time. Now, I could understand you got wants, you got needs, but your wife is battling brain cancer. You put your dick in your pants and you let her heal, you know, and that And this guy is sleeping around while his wife is battling brain cancer. If anybody should be ridiculed beyond belief, as long as it's true. We don't know if it's true. We don't know if it's true. So that's the story, everybody. Stephanie McMahon will serve as interim CEO and chairwoman. Vince McMahon remains on as head of creative. Think about that for a minute. Vince McMahon stays on as head of creative. People are so goddamn livid over that. Because how could that be? How could that? See what you could do when you own a business. See what you could do when you become a billionaire. See what you could do when you have power. Most of the people that are really, really going batshit about this right now, they don't have power themselves. They're so envious that they're angry behind it. I find it laughable. Seriously. I actually posted this. You know, please, WWE, give me a countdown clock on Raw. Put it on the screen every 15 minutes. Count down to Mr. McMahon. Do it. Seriously, do it on Monday. Just to the people that can't just be a little bit fair about this. You know, I'm not going to deny Vince McMahon, and I've said this before, is the third longest man in my life next to my father and my brother that I have, you know, had some type of attachment to. Him entertaining me as a wrestling fan. I will always be grateful for that. I have a bond with my grandmother when she was alive because of WWF. I'm doing these shows and been doing my hotlines because of it. So I will always be grateful for the entertainment that it's been giving me for five decades, 70s, 80s, 90s, even 79, you know. But I still say that Vince McMahon, I wouldn't be married to Vince McMahon. I personally think that they should have been divorced decades ago. But because of the business, because of the sake of the family, and I know you all know people personally and publicly who have a strained marriage, but they stay together for the sake of the children, for the sake of the business, for the sake of others. So they should have been divorced a long time ago. Also understand that there are some people that have marriages that are open. I'm not saying that Linda McMahon is fine to an open marriage. For all you know, Linda McMahon could, you know, be having some fun herself. We don't know. We don't know. But there are people in this world that do agree to open marriages. Is it our business to know that Vince and Linda have an open marriage? No, it's not our business. What would have happened if Vince McMahon slept with a babysitter? You know, 30, 40-year-old babysitter, but what if he slept with a babysitter and was not an office employee? You think and then paid $3 million hush money. You think the loud noise online, you think that they would react anything different? No. No. They wouldn't react any different at all. So let's see what happens, everybody. So Stephanie is back. And she, look, I know some people are saying that this is just optics, that Vince is still in charge. I agree. I agree to that to a certain extent. You know, I'll leave you with this, with Vince, and we'll move on. If we know for decades and decades and decades that Vince McMahon has had outside relationships, because we've heard stories and a lot of people have confirmed it in others, but, you know, over the years, I mean, I don't think there's anybody disputing that. If we on the outside know this much, could you imagine what the people on the inside know? Could you imagine? I mean, you look at all of the wrestlers for decades and decades and decades that had relationships with rats and others. And I hate using that term, but it is what it is. You know, this is not as out in the ordinary than you think. Look, you heard those disgusting tapes about Trump. grab her by the you-know-what. You know, this is what it is. But let it play out. Let it play out. And whatever the findings are, you know, you may not like them, but you got to accept them. So now, yesterday, and this was funny, I mean, simply because WWE announces that Mr. McMahon will be on SmackDown. I saw some dope from ESPN. Exclusive. Mr. McMahon in character will appear on SmackDown. You don't think every single person tuning into the show right now don't realize that when WWE says Vince McMahon, it's Vince McMahon talking. But when they say Mr. McMahon is the character. I watched this joke, breaking news exclusive. He will talk in character. Did he fucking talk in character yesterday? People accept, he didn't do anything like people were saying he was going to address the allegations. No. They advertised him, and he came out, and all he did was talk about the intro of SmackDown. Then, now, forever, together. Did you see the pop that he got? See the pop that he got? We live in an imperfect world, everyone. And yeah, it's fucked up that Vince McMahon, as a CEO of a billion-dollar company, slept with employees. It's fucked up. But because those fans cheered, you saw these people online like literally spitting on these fans. Disgusting. How dare you? Fucking awful. You condone that? Meanwhile, these people online, some of them are the lowest of the fucking low. I've talked about this even with my personal stuff where people are saying to me, they write on these social media things, oh, DT's fucking YouTube chat is one of the most toxic, awful things. But meanwhile, on the same fucking sentence, these people are doing toxic shit towards me and others on their own fucking channel. People talk on both sides of their mouth. I saw people yesterday, they're cheering for Mr. McMahon because they're wrestling fans. They're not perfect. A lot of wrestlers have unfortunately committed infidelity. They're not that technical. Oh my, but he's a billionaire. But people look at it like, look, it's fucked up, but it's Mr. McMahon. It's Vince McMahon. We know what kind of pig that he is. He fucking made out with Trish Stratus. He did the storyline. Linda, you think she was forced to do that? You think she was forced to sit in the wheelchair like she was on methamphetamines? I told you on my hotline back then that this family is a little weird. Linda doing a thing with Eric Bischoff in a storyline that Eric is making moves on her. I think that family found it sexually stimulating. I used to talk about this back in the day. It's just that a lot of people won't bring this stuff up. Vince McMahon is a chauvinistic pig. And guess what? Most people already know that, but they still appreciate what he's done for wrestling. That's why people cheered yesterday. I saw people today going out of their way. Oh my God, you got to see the YouTube. It's got 22,000 dislikes on there. Now, anybody that's ever run a YouTube channel, you know what I'm about to say. Yeah, it's 22,000 dislikes. I could go do a Google search right now and pay some company in India $10 to put 10,000 dislikes on that page. They talk about 22,000 dislikes, but they don't mention that there's 40,000 likes. So, you know, people are going to paint this the way they want it painted and the way you should see it painted. And if you don't see it painted the same way they do, they will embarrass you. They will diminish you. They will demean you. They will put you down, criticize you, say that you condone this stuff and make you feel fucking awful. You got to stay away from those people. You got to stay away from those people. So Vince came out yesterday, walked to the ring, just talked about the intro, then now forget forever together. He welcomes everyone to SmackDown. I saw some people last night in a watch party that we had wondering if this is Vince's, one of his way of saying goodbye to everybody. Came out there, took in. I personally think we will see Vince again, but what if he is removed? There's always a chance he won't be in that ring again. But I also believe him going out there yesterday was basically his way of saying to all you people that have been waiting decades for the Phil Mushnicks of the world and everybody else. I don't want to single anybody else out. That was his way of saying, I'm still fucking in charge. This is my goddamn company. Look at all those people that support me. I may not be a perfect person, and yeah, maybe I like to sleep around with women, and maybe, you know, I'm not a good husband, you know, but he's done a lot, and that was an ego boost on his part. Yeah, Rob, it's my house. It's my house. Suddenly everybody is uber triggered about his, and again, some people still don't understand the difference between sexual misconduct and misconduct. This was consensual. There is nothing about the Johnny Ace involvement of this that leads to non-consensual. This passed me around like a top. Fuck it. Again, do the research on it. Who actually came up with that? This was all consensual. And if she liked it and she was part of it, like I said, Johnny Ace, if anything, is an absolute creep for sleeping with other women while his wife was battling brain cancer. But until I see something specific, something that is revealed and it's reported in the business world, I'm not going to pay attention to a wrestling podcast or a wrestling news site simply because they need it to be true. They have to have it be true. They want it to be true. That is completely different. So thank you all for the kind words. I'm just trying to be straight up about this. You know, look, if I could be a selfish guy for a minute, like I said earlier, I hope when I'm 73, I still want to fucking bang like rabbits. Me, I've never cheated. I've never been good looking enough that I could just like, yeah, whip out a black book and get something whenever I want. But I don't see myself ever being, you know, having any infidelity. But I hope at 73, I still want it that much. For me, it seems like the only thing I want that much these days is food and painkillers. So best wishes to everybody, you know, that has been hurt by this. But again, let's understand why NDAs usually happen. If this was a, and look, I'm not throwing shade against a woman, but this is something that you do have to remember in the back of your mind. Just because she had sex with Vince McMahon doesn't make her a victim. She's 40-something years old, if it's the woman that everybody's talking about. She's 40-something years old. She slept with a 73-year-old billionaire. I think of Anna Nicole Smith right away. I think of others. So, you know, let's also realize that the woman here involved, you know, this was consensual. If there was a non-disclosure NDA, because I saw people saying like, oh, there's lots of NDAs accused. Well, you know what that means? There's a lot of people out there that can't just write off, hey, I slept with a married man. Hey, I slept with an executive. Ah, things didn't work out. I lost my job. Hey, life goes on. No, usually when you have NDAs, there's usually somebody saying, if you don't fucking give me money, I'm going to tell the world about what we did. Is that okay? Is that okay? Is it okay because the person receiving the money slept with a billionaire white man, slept with a Republican, slept with Mr. McMahon? What if it was Mr. Khan? You know, how would you feel about that? I think we would all still feel that it's inappropriate, no question. But let's also stop playing this thing that she was a victim here. That's why they're using this passing around the top thing. Because if you take that away, there's nothing that makes her seem like a victim. So remember when you hear people throwing around, oh my God, there's so many NDAs being accused. Oh my God, he's done. Well, understand that NDAs are usually because somebody who's consensual now wants to blackmail you. Don't tell me that that's not. She wanted to go public about it. Why? Why make it public? Why? If she was mistreated, that's different. But it was put out there almost immediately that it was all consensual. So if it was all consensual, why the NDA? Because she threatened to make it public. That's what an NDA is many times, everybody. So it's bribery. It's bribery. It's blackmail. And on the opposite side, it's a billionaire realizing, hey, I could just give her a couple of million dollars and she'll shut up. And most of the times the NDAs, they reveal anyway. So let's be a little realistic here. That's what I'm trying to be tonight. Okay. Other results from SmackDown yesterday. We had, and thank God they didn't do what we feared. We feared that they were going to do the last laugh match. If you notice the wording, they changed it around. Yesterday it was last laugh, meaning the last time that they're going to face each other. So Corbin and Moss had pretty much a standard match. Moss getting the win again. After the match, he does something moronic. He starts laughing his ass off again. Number one, his laughing is why everybody fucking hated him, because it's annoying. Number two, didn't he just cut a promo a couple of weeks ago? No more laughing. No more laughing. So, but at least we know storyline is over. Now, for SummerSlam, they want Pat McAfee to wrestle. Pat McAfee wants to wrestle. And the idea of having Corbin being his opponent is similar to Theory. They want someone who the WWE absolutely hates, absolutely wants to see get their ass kicked, and that's Corbin. That's why after the match was over, you had Corbin and Pat McAfee go exchanging some verbal darts with each other. I know people are like, oh, so fucking random, and look how horrible this is. Look, Pat McAfee kicked ass at WrestleMania. Why would I not want to see him have a SummerSlam match? And if he's going to have a SummerSlam match, let him beat the shit out of Corbin. That's how I look at it. I don't want to see Corbin, period. But this is why they have Corbin with McAfee. Same idea with Theory. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, it's not anything official yet, but that's the buzz going around. Another stupid thing yesterday, you had the New Day beat Shanky and Jinder Mahal. Basically, they're having a okay match. Xavier Woods starts playing a trombone, and Shanky, you know, I like the, as I call it, doing the Shanky Panky, but simply because Shanky hears music, he hears the trombone. Gets distracted, Trouble in Paradise, to Jinder Mahal over. Stupid. Adam Pearce with Sheamus and Drew and our watch party yesterday called every part of this. He announces Sheamus in it, and it looks so stupid because you knew that Drew was in it anyway, and Drew is acting like, oh, fuck, I'm not in it. Sheamus bragging, and then Drew starts beating up Sheamus, and we even said it like word for word. You know, no, stop. You're in it too. So they're in Money in the Bank. Raquel Rodriguez defeats Shayna Baszler to advance to the Money in the Bank match. And I don't know if you all caught it on WWE's website today. That is a screenshot of Raquel Rodriguez beating Shayna Baszler to advance. Does anything seem a little bit strange in this photo? Why would somebody bring a blank white piece of OTEG, cardboard, poster board, and then show it front center camera? Hey, everybody, look at my blank. I forgot my markers at home. No, in actuality, that was a sign that talked about Sasha Crew forever. It's WWE photoshopped it. Took all the writing out. If I owned WWE or if I was in that department, I would have changed Sasha to McMahon for life, just to be a dick. Look, again, I don't condone his behavior. The stuff he did with Sable, the stuff he did with Trish, the storyline with Linda in the wheelchair, some of my most hated storylines in history. You think I felt comfortable when he's teasing that he's going to have sex with Tori Wilson? You know, and the excuse for anybody that was not a wrestling fan at that time, the excuse that they would give to media is let the storyline play out. Let the storyline play out. I remember clearly when that storyline with Linda being in a wheelchair, a vegetable, people were really, really uncomfortable with that. And WWE's answer was, let the story play out. In the end, Mr. McMahon will get his. You could go do a Wayback Machine and go relive it, and you'll see. That was their excuse every time. No, this is Mr. McMahon, the dirty old man. In the end, he gets his. And most of the time, he would get his. But we would go through a lot of very uncomfortable segments. Okay. Roman Reigns, as we expected, defeated Riddle yesterday. Now, I saw so many people saying this yesterday. When Riddle came out, the beginning of SmackDown, he's paying the tribute to Randy. People were like, did Randy die? Like, this is just way, way, way over the top. It's so over the top that if I'm Randy Orton in storyline, you RKO him. Shut the fuck up. You know, I'm not crippled. You know, or Riddle over the top gushing about Randy. And then maybe Randy hurts Riddle's feelings. And then maybe Riddle ultimately turns on Randy down the line. I don't know. But please, move on. This is almost like a breakup, you know, where, you know, the guy can't accept that they're broken up. And the girl, like, left and he's telling everyone, oh, you know, yeah, no, we're good. She's at school right now. And, you know, just, or better yet, you have a relationship and it just goes south really, really quickly. And you just keep exaggerating, talking about all the good times this and that, and it was almost nothing. I'm not saying RK-Bro was nothing, but this is too much now. Yesterday, his tribute, you know, like getting the fans to cheer again and chant, it almost feels like the guy died. You know, let this, I think this storyline does shift. I expect in the next 3 weeks, because it may happen past Money in the Bank, but I think within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we will see a dramatic shift in this. I think Randy Orton has to make an appearance. Some people think that Randy is not returning for the remainder of 2022. I don't buy that at all, because those same people a week ago were saying that Randy Orton was going to take on Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. Obviously, that's not happening anymore. That's not happening anymore. Remember all those people a week ago? Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton, SummerSlam. So, all right. As we expected, Roman Reigns defeated Riddle yesterday. Excellent match, man. For TV, that was freaking awesome. You know, I expect this rating to really be huge. And look, I'm not going to buy the old people tuned in just to hear what Mr. McMahon had to say. I think realistic people know that Vince McMahon was not going to go in the middle, at the beginning of SmackDown on Fox TV and then deny, accept it, or say, you're damn right, I fucked everybody. You know, no, he just came out there, showed his face and left. Even if 10 million people, I'm serious when I say this, even if 10 million people tuned in to see what Mr. McMahon had to say, He was out there for 45 seconds. So even if 9 of those 10 million then turned the channel like, that's it? Oh, I'm out of here. The rating would still be pretty much the normal. Even if you had that 5 minutes of 10 million viewers. So I expect the rating to pop mainly because of the Roman Reigns Riddle match. And I won't be surprised if hour 2 is bigger than hour 1. Because they really did that match well. And, you know, even though Riddle had no shot, they really did the best they could in this match. I mean, Riddle was kicking out of quite a few things, countered the spear into the RKO at the end, which really looked good. Riddle has turned the corner, you know, because there was a point where Riddle was losing way too many matches. And, of course, he was going to lose this one. But after Riddle loses, Roman Reigns, he gets on the mic. There's nobody left. There's nobody left. There's only one thing left to do. And he says, you know, I think it was Minnesota, right? Acknowledge me. And anybody that was at the watch party will type this in the chat room right now. As soon as he said that, we said, okay, whose music's going to hit? And sure enough, Brock Lesnar's music hits. And again, I'm not trying to be a jerk about this, but you're not going to say to me that after the last 2 years of Brock Lesnar kicking fucking ass, that I'm going to complain because they're going to have one additional match. You know, you take any favorite AEW match or feud or anything like that, and we get another one, you know. Sure, look, I showed this earlier. Look at the pay-per-view history with these guys. But let's also point out that a couple of these matches were many, many years ago. You know, we've had a couple of pay-per-views, two or three. So, you know, it's not like there's been 10, you know, like matches with these guys. So give me one more, and I expect twists and turns. And if we get a surprise out of this, I don't think anybody's going to complain. I don't understand how people were complaining that Brock Lesnar's back. I mean, what Brock Lesnar were they paying attention to the last 2 years? So I am very, very happy that Brock Lesnar is back. Good. I'm glad he's back. Guy's a main eventer. Guy's at the top of his game, entertaining-wise. Why would I not want that back on TV? So, all right. Rampage yesterday. I mean, obviously, we could just run down the matches. Jon Moxley over Dante Martin, no surprise there. Jade Cargill retaining the TBS championship against Willow Nightingale, not a surprise there. I like Willow Nightingale. I wish AEW would actually sign her. I don't know if they will. We have Max Caster and Colton Gunn absolutely squashing it. Yes, Leon Ruff, the former NXT North American champion, him and Bear Country now, they are now a trios team, and they're called Roughin' It. Roughin' It. Bear Country and Leon Ruff. Please explain that one to me. Swerve Strickland, Keith Lee teasing a split because of what happened at Double or Nothing. Main event, Darby Allin beating Bobby Fish. Sting made his return. Kyle O'Reilly tried to interfere. Sting shows up, gives him a couple of crotch shots with the bat, and Sting ends up helping Darby take out Bobby Fish. Darby putting Bobby Fish's ankle in the chair, a little receipt from what happened to Sting. I tell you, for 2 weeks now, I've really enjoyed Rampage's one-hour show. It just is a very smooth, quick 1 hour, nothing too over the top, very, very predictable. Nonetheless, but good hour. I really can't complain. Now, speaking of AEW, let's just throw it out there. Last week, they did 939,000 viewers. I got some feedback from Wednesday's podcast I did. DT, I think you're a little too harsh on AEW Wednesday. They did 761,000 viewers. That is a 20% drop. People were blaming it on the NBA. Oh, no, I forgot. doesn't count. They'll blame it on baseball playoffs. Oh, no, there isn't any. Oh, wait, that's right. The Stanley Cup Finals were on. They only did 4 million viewers. The Stanley Cup Finals only did 4 million viewers. People are using that as an excuse. It went down to 761. Now, I want to point out a couple of things to you because, as I said at the beginning of the show, notice for the last 2 weeks, everybody used to put quarter-hour breakdowns all over the fucking net. Now suddenly, oh, no, there's other news to talk about. No. We got to talk about Vince. And suddenly, it's non-existent. There were points on Wednesday's Dynamite that they were close to 900,000 viewers. Some of those quarter hours dipped so bad. The main event that I told you I thought was fucking awful, I thought it was awful, that it gets to a point where Crash TV, clusterfuck, especially when everything is set up and perfectly choreographed, it's not telling a story. It says, okay, my time to do my crazy spot. Oh, my time to do my crazy spot. And we don't need to revisit. The Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express only did 659,000 viewers. 2 weeks ago, NXT scored a higher rating. The Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express main event on Dynamite did 659. Will Ospreay versus Dax, great match. That only did 725. See, this is, and I don't need more than 2 minutes to explain this. It's a deep dive, but the dive is very easy to explain. We've talked about this many times. New Japan Pro Wrestling can't even get 50,000 viewers on Access TV. Please do not say to me, oh, I have no way of seeing Access. Their United States footprint is tiny, microscopic. And AEW has not helped that at all. AEW fans, because they're getting all their stars, the niche fans are going to love it. But the everyday casual wrestling fans, guys, gals, there's a reason why Ring of Honor only drew a couple of hundred for years and years and years and years. There's a reason why if Ring of Honor was so big and successful, or because Tony Khan owns it right now that everybody loves Ring of Honor again, how come we're not getting any shows? Is it that difficult to just set up a couple of indie shows? Does anybody really buy that? You know, with all due respect, I'm a big fan of FTR. I'm just telling you like I see it. I don't give a shit about any of those belts. Just because Tony Khan owns Ring of Honor doesn't mean that millions of people now or hundreds of thousands of people now immediately have to flock to Ring of Honor. They basically have taken their footprint, which is All Elite Wrestling, AEW. It had Ring of Honor vibes. It had ECW vibes. It had a little bit of New Japan vibes. Now those vibes have been replaced with New Japan and Ring of Honor themselves. And Ring of Honor doesn't draw great. If Will Ospreay was such an unbelievable household name megastar, people would tune in to watch it. Jay White. Oh, the Switchblade era is here. The Switch fucking Blade era has been on Impact Wrestling every week and they can't draw 100,000 viewers when he's on. How is it that these people that gush suddenly about these guys, when they're available on TV every week, they don't watch it? What Tony Khan is starting to realize is that his Dynamite show, in my opinion, there's three groups of people three categories that you want to please for your shows. Four, if you really want to get technical about it. You want to please your diehard fans first, casual fans second, niche fans third, and yourself fourth. Because not everything that I have liked over the years as a wrestling fan, you are going to like. Some of my favorite wrestlers, like Shane Douglas and others, some of you are like, ah. So just because I am a huge fan of Shane Douglas, if I own a wrestling promotion and I realize that a majority of my fans or viewers of my product doesn't like Shane Douglas, I don't put him on the TV anyway because it's a fantasy match of mine. It's my lifelong dream. I absolutely love him. It's epic, amazing, unbelievable. Look, this is real goosebumps. So you have to please your audience first because you want to maintain them. You then want to please casual wrestling fans because you want them to experience it, take a little, you know, put their toe in the water. Then maybe the next time around they put their feet in the water. Then the next time around maybe they dive in. And then your third is your niche. Your niche is a very, very small group that you're pleasing them at a that's what this New Japan Forbidden Door is. It's niche. But the problem is Tony Khan has turned Dynamite into his bucket list as a lifelong wrestling fan. You know, he puts the Ring of Honor belts on the line. Look, winner take all. Ring of Honor versus Ring of Honor is not a active promotion. They're just people holding titles. Bring back the fucking WCW title. Bring back the fucking ECW title. Bring back the NWA. Bring back whatever the fuck you want. They're not active. So he keeps bringing up Ring of Honor, 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 Ring of Honor. You realize that Tully Blanchard created Tully Blanchard Enterprises on April 1st. We're almost 3 months later. Oh my God, it was incredible. Brian Cage and this guy and this guy. And it's a, nothing is happening. So, but we see all over the TV. Oh, Ring of Honor, 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 Ring of Honor. Yesterday with Jay Lethal and Sonjay Dutt and Satnam Singh and Samoa Joe, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor. You don't defend this, you're Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor. The fucking promotion is not active right now. Until it's active, it's not. And New Japan, when you see that only 40,000 viewers watch it on a weekly basis and you're doing all this stuff, you got to realize like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe we need to do video packages. Just because Excalibur says, oh, you know who that is? That's the Great Okan! You know who that is? That's Aussie Open and Wide Open and Pussy Open and Aussie this and into this. And he's talking like, oh, we're supposed, this is what this show is interpreted. The way and I'm a big fan of Excalibur. I'm one of the few. But the way Excalibur talks on TV, you know what Tony Khan thinks our reaction should be at home? When Excalibur says, oh, Tony, you know that is, that's Aussie Open. Tony Khan thinks all of us at home should be like, oh, yeah. Oh, oh, wow. Holy shit. Holy shit. The United Empire. I don't give a shit about the United Empire. You've given me no reason to. But he attacked Orange Cassidy. You gotta want to see him kick his ass. So this Dynamite has turned into please Tony Khan first, please niche audience second, please AEW fans third, and please casual wrestling fans fourth. And what's happening now is there is so much clusterfuck and so much Crash TV. When you see Crash TV every single week, it's no longer Crash TV. You got people diving through tables, diving through ladders. Every week somebody goes through the chair. All these women, unless they're bleeding or going through thumbtacks or tables or glass or weapons or see their matches seem like, you know, it kind of fell flat. A clash of styles. Thunder Rosa Marina, a clash of styles. You know what's going to happen. We'll probably see ultimately very, very soon, we'll start seeing women bleed profusely again. And then suddenly a new shirt will come out. So this is Tony Khan's problem. The problem is that the people online that gush over this stuff will never say this because they don't want to create enemies. But they're down to 761, and I'll say one last thing. This is their lowest viewership since April of 2021. Think about all the wrestlers that are on that card now that were on Dynamite that weren't there April 2021. They did a worse viewership Wednesday than they have done over the last 14 months. And you see all those names that appeared on Wednesday that weren't there back then. So he can keep doing his Forbidden Door stuff and everything like that, and that's great. And everybody walks down with a belt, and we got pink titles. We got Ring of Honor titles. We might have IWGP titles. We got AAA titles. We got FTW titles. A fucking title that they say they don't recognize, but yet when it has matches, there's a referee in the ring. Come on. You know, but we get Easter eggs. That's why the ratings are getting bad. Do I expect a rebound next week? Yeah, I do expect a rebound next week. But they're bringing all these people on TV, even Ring of Honor people. You look at that Gresham match, Battle of the Belts, against what, Dalton Castle? I laughed. When they rolled down in a ring, I thought about when I was six and me and my friends used to do that in mud. Like, just because they could do it for 45 seconds, I'm surprised. I can't do that. Oh, my God. No, it looked ridiculous. It reminded me when I was a child, rolling in mud. And where the fuck is Gresham? So, let's be honest. AEW is turning into Tony Khan's bucket list, his promotion. But he owns it. He can do whatever he wants. Okay. I wanted to show you to this. Rest in peace, Dave Hepner. Died at the age of 73 years old yesterday. He was in poor health for quite some time. You know, look, it's funny, over the years, obviously Earl Hepner has taken a life of his own because of the Bret Hart screw job. But, you know, these two guys, and it's fun to see and hear wrestlers from rival promotions back in the day that look back at one particular storyline with fond memories. I heard today Jim Cornette talking about that infamous night where Hulk Hogan lost the WWF championship to Andre the Giant and he gave it to Tartarievsky. And then you had Vince McMahon and Jesse on commentary. And they're playing off that somebody was paid a ton of money to get plastic surgery to look like Dave Hepner. And Hogan doesn't know which is the referee. After all these years, to see and hear so many wrestlers, because you got to look, let's remember the time frame here. We're talking, what, 1986? Was that 86? Or maybe 87? You know, that was only 2-3 years removed from Crockett and TBS and, you know, that Black Saturday or whatever it was when WWF took over TBS. 88, thank you, 88. It's only a couple of years. There was a bitter hatred with NWA and WWF and AWA and others, and Vince was trying to shut all the promotions down, and yet, you hear all these years later, a lot of wrestlers from the rival companies at that time that loved this storyline with the two referees, with Hogan versus Andre. The Hogan-Andre match was garbage. You know, I mean, work rate, you don't want to watch that match for work rate. You watch it for storyline. But this, to me, is one of the greatest storylines in the history of pro wrestling. But the one thing that I find very interesting looking back, you know, what would have happened if Dave Hepner and Earl Hepner both refereed for WWF at the same time? You know, for people that don't remember, after this night when Hulk picked up Earl and threw him, you know, we saw Earl Hebner now refereeing. Dave Hebner, who was in WWF. Remember, Dave Hebner was in WWF first. Earl Hebner came in afterwards. After this, Dave Hebner worked in office. Earl Hebner was the referee. And Jesse would play it off on TV. Is that Dave? Is that Earl? I don't know if he would, if they, I don't even know if they even, no, I don't think they acknowledged Earl's name at the time. In the very beginning, they weren't sure if that was the honest referee, Dave Hebner, or if it was the imposter. That's what they used, the imposter. Then after a little while, you would just hear, you know, the following contest, your referee, Earl Hebner. And they just let it quietly go away. So, yeah, the Hebners did get busted so fly by WWE. They were accused of selling counterfeit merchandise. Dave Hebner especially was devastated by it because he swore to his grave that he didn't do anything wrong. I got to be honest with you. I was doing at least a hotline at the time. I don't remember if I was podcasting yet, but I was doing a hotline at the time for sure. One thing I do remember at that time is that they were doing business with some outside vendors. And I truly believed that an outside vendor might have been selling counterfeit stuff. I'm not sticking up for them. And I'm not saying this because he died, but I said it back then also. Something didn't feel right. It felt like WWF just wanted to get rid of the Hebners. I think if they would have had an investigation, I would not have been surprised if it led that the Hebners did not know that they were dealing with a counterfeit vendor. So, but yeah, they got terminated. WWE never put him in the Hall of Fame, right? I don't recall. I mean, I don't pay attention to Earl Hebner in recent years, but I don't think WWE put the Hebners together in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that, because I'm sure I would have remembered covering. Yeah, everybody's saying no. So that's a shame. That is a shame. Brian Hebner, I think, just retired also. So, you know, I hope Brian Hebner could still do it a little bit longer because that's a legacy done. You have Dave Hebner, who's deceased, Earl Hebner, who is honestly too old now, and Brian Hebner, even though he's only 43, is retiring. The Hebner legacy, as far as referees, is over, as far as I know. So rest in peace to Dave Hebner. You know, yesterday we got the news. Why do I have a picture of Kevin Dunn's teeth? How do you make that kind of money, have that many shares of stock and not fix your teeth? Seriously, I'm just being honest. How do you not fix your teeth? All right, for those that are interested, check this out. I want to thank Foco because they are going to be sending me a few to give away. It won't be until later on this year because they're not going to be shipped out until probably October or November. But they have the all-new Batista. Wait. Do I have a better picture? Oh, that's not a good picture. That's a small. Oh, okay. I see what I did. That is the new Batista Foco bobblehead. And honestly, this freaking thing looks awesome, man. They're only limiting it to 720. So I will have probably at least five of those 720. But if you want a little bit more of a close-up, that is the front. That is the back. That is his head up close. No teeth. Bobbleheads don't have teeth. And that's the bottom. So that is awesome, man. They just put it out. If you go to Foco.com, F-O-C-O.com, you could pre-order it, and believe me, these will sell out quickly. I'm blown away how fast some of these bobbleheads sell out. So, Batista, Foco. So, Michael Gonzalez, shout out to you. He said that Cody Rhodes is out with an injury. What injury is that? Pray tell, you may ask. I know why he's saying it. They're having a little conversation online. I just wanted to mess around a little bit. So, all right. I didn't intend on this being at the very end, but obviously we just segued to that. Yeah, let's talk about this. If you are not aware yet, in my on my channel, ooh, that's a little small. That's better. On my channel, I posted the full, I don't want to say high definition, but the full high quality video, the whole 35 minutes of his DUI arrest, complete from him being pulled over. It's very, very sad to watch. If everybody on the replay, when I go like this, there'll be a link up there. I got access to it. I got access to a lot. So I'm trying to dive into this. We're starting to get a picture. We're starting to get a picture. But 35 minutes of the vehicle pursuit, you got to watch at least the first 3 minutes of it. He's literally 9:30 in the morning. Some people are still getting the time wrong. 9:30 in the morning, rush hour traffic. He's going like this, weaving in and out. He's crossing lanes. He's going fast. He's going slow. The cops are right behind him, and he is swerving. And as you're watching this, you think to yourself, how the fuck did this guy think he was going all the way back to North Carolina? I mean, how do you even, like, with all your motor functions pretty much gone, how do you even remember? How do you even remember? I'm not trying to be funny. I wouldn't have been surprised if he was on I-95, he would have ended up in Connecticut. Seriously, how do you know, like, where to pull off? I mean, obviously he would have sobered up as he went along, but that video is disturbing. Around, I think, the 11-minute mark, you hear the radio talking about his suspension in North Carolina, talking about other issues with his license. And look, you know, police officers are wrestling fans too. One of the officers gave Jeff Hardy a fist bump, but, you know, law is law. And Jeff Hardy was intoxicated over 3 times the legal limit, and he was arrested for it. So now, again, I wrote this on social media, and you're seeing a pattern because, again, you know, I bring up things that other people will not bring up. And it's pretty obvious because there are people out there that don't want to rock the boat, if you want to put it that way. And look, this was something that caught my eye immediately. And I waited 2 days and wanted to see who was going to put it out there. Not only did I see nobody put it out there, but I didn't see anybody talking about it either. The Dodge Charger. Whose car is that? Whose car is that? Nobody is asking that question. Nobody is asking who rented Jeff Hardy that vehicle. Who rented Jeff Hardy that vehicle? Jeff Hardy has a suspended, restricted license. Somebody rented the vehicle. So first of all, and JD, if you happen to see this, and I'm going to DM you tomorrow also, when I do get that answer, I'm going to send it to him because he is good people, and I know he legitimately was asking that same question. I know some of you may not like his style, but that man is asking the same questions as I am. So when I noticed that nobody that has connections is even bothering, and I know the reason why, because they're afraid what the answer is going to be. Let me tell you right now, I don't know who rented the car yet. I will know very, very soon. But hypothetically, what if it's a wrestler? It's not Matt Hardy. I'm going to tell you right now, based on what Matt Hardy has said in his podcast and others, Matt Hardy you know, he's not involved with this. So please, I don't even want to put that thought in anybody's mind. The man is sincere. He had nothing to do with this. All right. But let me tell you what I have uncovered for the last 2 days. And again, as I uncover more, take note of everyone else out there who is dead silent about this, because they know that this could uncover something really, really fucked up. None of them are asking. Nobody's reporting it was a rental car. Okay, let me tell you what I have found out so far. And I explained a little of this yesterday in a watch party, and follow me with this. In 2019, Jeff Hardy was arrested for DWI. In October of 2020, as a part of his probation agreement and later getting a restricted license, it was agreed upon that he has to have an alcohol ignition cutoff equipped in a vehicle, which means that when Jeff Hardy gets in his vehicle, wants to start the car up and drive, he has to have in his vehicle a breathalyzer. So he blows into it, it blows that it's clear, and then he could start the car. Jeff Hardy did not have one. And here's why. Because Jeff Hardy has no car under his name right now. He's had Corvettes, he's had Cadillacs, he's had other vehicles. The Cadillac that he had, I believe, in his 2019 accident, I think when he hit the divider. Remember that? Me and Mish covered that one in detail. I believe that's the last car that he has had registered in his name. So if he doesn't have a car titled and registered to his name, there's no car to install the device to. That's why he didn't have one. You understand? So if he has no car, you don't have to equip it. So how do you get around it? Well, you play Russian roulette, you drive other people's cars. Now, I will tell you that two of the three violations that he got pulled over for, the driving a vehicle that was not equipped with the alcohol device and driving with a suspended license, those are considered more moving violations. You get points on your license. It's not necessarily criminal. Any driving privileges that he would have had now would have been taken away, ultimately will be taken away because of no device in the vehicle. He should not be renting a vehicle, because Enterprise, Avis, rental companies, they don't have alcohol ignition cutoffs equipped in their vehicles. With all due respect, what car rental company wants to rent a car to someone that's an alcoholic? So he shouldn't be renting cars. The DUI is the biggie, because the two other moving violations, those are misdemeanors in the second degree. Because a few of you were confused. You were saying, is he facing up to a year in jail? Is he facing up to 5 years in jail? If you notice, nobody told you if they were misdemeanors or felonies, because all people are doing are just reading a sheriff's website, and whatever is there is what they're reading. I actually got the information. The two traffic tickets are second degree misdemeanors. The DUI is a third degree felony. Third DUI in 10 years. Third degree felony. Now, the problem he also has, this is something else, not one person is talked about, and I'm going to tell you now. And it's almost common sense, but it's news. It's news. Jeff Hardy is still under probation in North Carolina from his 2019 DUI. So this DUI in Florida affects his probation agreement with North Carolina. So expect something very, very soon to go down in North Carolina. Because if you remember when we talked about Tammy, two totally different situations, but this is the same. If you remember when Tammy had the DUI manslaughter accident in Florida, we said that this also trickles down to Pennsylvania because she's out on probation parole because of, well, probation is probably a better way to put it, because of the deals that she made in Pennsylvania. Can't drive, can't drink, can't do this, can't do that. When she got busted in Florida, she's now going to face charges in Pennsylvania and Jersey. Probably Jersey more than anywhere else because her license, I think, was Jersey. So because of what she did in Florida, it's going to affect her, cases in Jersey. Same thing with Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy now, because he violated the agreement that was made in North Carolina, that is going to be an issue for him as well. So that is what I could tell you right now. Now, what I also could tell you is that I could run, and I'm being honest with you, I could run Jeff Hardy's driver's license right now. I could run everything. I could run the plate, get it like this. There are laws, though, that you have to follow. And me, I am licensed to sell insurance in Florida. I have my broker's license. I've been doing it since 98. But I can't just run plates and licenses for news or reporting. I'm an insurance guy, not a reporter. So if I run Jeff Hardy's license, at the end of the month, my insurance company that I have the account with are going to come back to me and say, why did you run this license? And I have to give them an explanation. When I run, when somebody comes into my office and wants a quote for insurance, and I give them a quote, and they say, okay, I want to buy it, and then I run their license, and then something pops up that they didn't tell me, and then the rate changes, and then they leave, and they're like, I don't want the insurance anymore. I have a motor vehicle report run, but I didn't write a policy. So at the end of the month, the insurance company is saying to me, why did you run the license for John Smith? And then I tell them, he was purchasing insurance, ran the license, rate changed, no longer interested. Done. With Jeff Hardy, I can't lie. I can't say, well, he had a DUI and I'm writing a story on that. They're going to be like, okay, you're not, you lose your account. So I can't jeopardize my business and losing my account just to get that answer quicker. I will tell you that Volusia County already gave me all of the report details, and they gave me a contact at the Florida Highway Patrol, and they are sending me the report. Once I get the report, I will know exactly what led to Jeff Hardy's restricted license being suspended. He did something and led to the suspension. I will tell you that there's no other DUIs arrests that we're not aware of. That I could tell you there. He had a lot of equipment violations when he was younger, turning back odometer a couple of times, but nothing out of the ordinary sense. So there's no other issues out there. The only other issue that you may remember is South Carolina. Remember when he was on Myrtle Beach and he passed out like in a stairway or something? He got arrested, I think that was in 2020, in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And he was let go, I think, the next day. He ended up only having to pay like a $200 ticket for that. You know, he wasn't driving, but he still was intoxicated and he passed out. That is the last activity. Because believe me, I mean, I have like 6 pages of reports. And, you know, I'm doing my own research. Because as you see online right now, there's a lot of people that aren't. And I think that they're not because they're afraid to know the answer. What happens if it's a wrestler that rented him the car? Look, I also want to paint one scenario out there. This is likely not the case, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Sometimes when you go to different states, they don't run your hometown motor vehicle report. I have had people with suspended licenses in New York drive to Florida, get pulled over in Florida, And then they don't get arrested because they have no idea that their license was suspended in New York. Some states, they don't do that. Florida doesn't always do that. Jeff Hardy. Now, remember, Tammy should have been arrested immediately for the suspended license, driving under suspension, especially resulting in an accident. But it was more complicated to that because they have to go through a chain of command, especially they don't want it to go to court. There's a loophole and she lose, you know, she's out clear. In the case of Jeff Hardy, the least likely scenario is that he rented this car a while ago and his restricted license was not suspended. And the rental company did not check to see why he had the restricted license. That is a possible scenario, but very unlikely. Because, you know, when you run licenses, there's codes. It doesn't spell out every little, there's codes that represent things. And who knows, Jeff Hardy being a pro wrestler, wrestling legend, Hall of Famer, you know, maybe, all right, look, go see this guy, he'll take care of you. There is a possibility that Jeff rented this vehicle, and maybe his license was, restricted license was not suspended yet, and they didn't pick up on that. But I will tell you, that is almost impossible, because the whoever rented the car would be in a lot of hot shit right now, a lot of hot water. But one thing I can tell you for sure, that car was not owned by Jeff Hardy. It is a rental vehicle. There's certain things about plates with rental vehicles and everything coming back, this is a rental vehicle. It could very well be that it's somebody's car personally, but it's Texas license plates. And you ask yourself, what is he, who does he, you know, like, how do you get a Texas vehicle? What likely happened was somebody rented him the vehicle in Florida, let's say Enterprise. He was going to drive back to North Carolina and leave the car in North Carolina. If you ask my gut feeling, this is what I think is going to be uncovered. We're going to find out that somebody in Florida, because he was in Florida for a Dave and Buster's thing and some autograph signing. I think we're going to find out that somebody in Florida rented him a car, and, or somebody rented it for him in North Carolina. He came to Florida, did his thing, and then was going to drive back to North Carolina and leave the car in North Carolina. The question we don't know is, how did he get to Florida? Did somebody fly him in, or did he drive to Florida? I would think if like the event flew him in, they would fly him back home too. That's why I have a feeling this car may have been rented a week or two before. Could have even been longer than that. But everything is pointing to a rental vehicle. It could end up that it's not, and it's somebody's privately owned vehicle, but it appears that it's a rental. So we'll see. I will have that answer eventually. So as soon as I get that answer, I will let you know. And for a few of you out there that I actually give a shit about, I'll let you know also. So, no, Run, I can tell you his brother did not rent the vehicle. He did not rent the vehicle. Trust me. He did not rent the vehicle. I'm telling you, Tony Khan, he didn't rent the vehicle. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a favor from somebody at a rental company, or I hate to say it like this, it could be, you know, a fan, you know, that was just trying to help him out. It could be a wrestler. It could have been Jeff Hardy got away with one. I don't know. But, that's with that said, that is your update with Jeff Hardy. And as soon as I get more information, I will let you know. So, before we wrap this up, and don't forget tomorrow at 8 o'clock is the sit-down. The entire show is Q&A, whether it's live chat. If needed, we'll open the phone lines. Last week, we had an incredible show. I mean, all the Q&As are good, but I got more feedback for last week's show than for months. And don't forget, next week, we have Forbidden Door. So next week, I don't believe there's a sit-down episode. So if you have any questions or if there's something that you want to talk about tomorrow, whether it's Vince, Jeff Hardy, Sasha Banks, whatever you want, stop by tomorrow. 8 o'clock is when we start. Couple of super chats, and I think from now on we're going to answer these at towards the end of the shows. I know that's a formula Jason uses, and he had suggested it to me before also. He's like, you put them all together, which is kind of a smart way to do it. But Chris thinks that last night when Vince said then, now, and forever, that it might have been a little tease about Roman versus Brock. It's like these the last few weeks, AEW and WWE have been competing for worst decision-making. He thinks Vince wins. Look, I totally get people that are a little bit tired of Roman versus Brock. And you know why you're tired? You know why you're tired? Yeah, the match kind of ended abruptly at WrestleMania, but they hyped it as the biggest title match ever. Biggest match ever. So we get emotionally drained by that. We got so emotionally invested building it up week after week, unified champion, Brock and Roman, Roman and Brock, Brock showing up on SmackDown, Roman showing up on Raw. And it just went on and on and on and on. And we get the payoff, and now we're getting the match again in a very short amount of time. So I definitely understand why you say that. I'm just saying that what's the alternative? To me, the only alternative right now is Sami Zayn. Sami trying to help the Bloodline backfired. Roman had to defend his title against Riddle. The Bloodline are going to beat the crap out of Sami Zayn. You see that coming. But would you do Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam? Especially when he didn't do Hell in the Cell and we don't know what's going to happen to Money in the Bank. If he doesn't do two pay-per-views in a row, you come back and you only do Sami Zayn with all due respect. So you come back, you got to come back with a marquee match. And look, even if you have some noise online of people complaining, you could have a crazy amount of people watching that event. Might compete with WrestleMania numbers. So if you draw that kind of numbers, you know, how do you fight that? So Sami Zayn is awesome, Kaya. I agree. As far as it being a Easter egg, if that's what you're alluding to, I don't think Vince was trying to plant an Easter egg yesterday. I think he was just saying, look, you know, WWE's always been, we've been together as a family. Here, then, now, together, forever. You know, it felt a little cryptic that this might be Vince's last opportunity. Even if he was let go, you know, I still think that they would never hesitate to not let him appear. And I'm not even saying that's going to happen yet. You know, we got to wait for the details to come out. But I don't think they were trying to plant an Easter. I think Vince, more than anything, was just saying, look, everybody, for everybody who has been patiently waiting for my demise, the only time you're going to get that is when I drop dead. Him going out there yesterday was his way of saying, I'm still the boss. And I think that's why they advertised him as Mr. McMahon. Instead of Vince McMahon. Put it this way. Let me tell you how stupid that guy at ESPN or CNN was. I'm going to prove it to you right now. And no one's going to disagree with me. When he wrote exclusive that Vince was going to be in character to address the allegations, why would Mr. McMahon in character address a real life serious corporate issue? Think about that for a minute. Just go, you think about it like that, you realize how stupid that was for the guy. Again, somebody who wants their name retweeted and republished everywhere. So they got to write exclusive breaking this, this, and that. And most people out there, they don't give a shit. They know what's going on, people, especially with the Sasha Banks stuff. People are racing to try to be the one on record. So people look back and say, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Broke the story originally. Good for you. You want a medal? Philip Maffey, Vince's promo from last night, to be honest, I was kind of expecting more than what we got. I didn't think he was going to address the allegations. It would have been really awkward. What are you going to do? Stand in the middle of the ring, the crowd gets silent. You start addressing accusations that, you know, what you say can be and will be used against you in a court of law. And then what? You hear a random fan yell out, "We love you, Vince!" And everybody starts I didn't expect an explanation at all. Vince, even with WrestleMania, he comes out, he's out there for 10 seconds, he leaves. We've seen that a few times. We've had a couple of times this year that he came out, and then he walked right back, and like, that's it? So, yeah, I think it was a little trolling. I think it was a little reassurance. Not everybody hates Vince, everybody. And some people realize that, yeah, I mean, he could be a dirty old man. No question. And I guarantee you some older people out there will be a little envious. Be like, damn, man, you still going for that ass at 73 years old, man. You know, there's a way of going about it, but what do you do? You hire escorts, you get caught there. Again, this is why for me, I will always be faithful, you know, to my fiance. I just don't need the drama, you know. But Vince, hey, you know, I think Vince will look back at this and say, you know what?
It was worth every minute of it. You know, I loved every minute.
So, you know, the guy's a billionaire. He knows when he's about to stick it in, he knows that that could haunt him later on. Whoever the paralegal is, you think she said, no NDA, no NDA, no NDA, I promise you, no NDA. And then 2 years later, NDA, motherfucker. So Vince knows what he's getting himself into when he does this stuff. But it is what it is. It is what it is. AS7607, long time no see. I hope you're doing well. Much love. Thank you, as always, for the support. And I thank each and every one of you out there for the support. It is very humbling, and I'm glad I could be a little bit of assistance in some of these crazy times. And I try to keep a little more level-headed, a little more reasonable. And if you notice, you know, little by little, you're starting to see more and more people throwing stuff out there just to get their name in headlines, and it ends up not being true. That Stephanie stuff was probably some of the dumbest stuff that I have seen in recent memory. So, DJ White Sox, you know, this is a question that I thought about. I'm sure some of you have as well. Do we think Linda would divorce Vince? I'm going to answer it this way. And I have a feeling a lot of you are going to agree with me when I say this. Now, I'm just thinking this now, spur in a moment. I think that Linda acknowledges and accepts the fact that her husband is a cheater, that he is a pig, that he is not faithful. And if they did not have an open marriage, there are people that have that, people. If they did not have an open marriage, I would not be surprised. And don't be surprised if you see somebody report this as news. I would not be surprised that Linda McMahon, here, you know, is a good example. I would have gotten so pissed if I waited till after the show and been like, oh, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Does anybody think that Bill still pegs Hillary? Seriously, I always felt, if you've watched any of the recent documentaries about Hillary, that one that just came out recently about Hillary, what was the documentary? Hillary promised she would not leave her husband because of the perception, just because of the fact that he was president and that perception. I would not be surprised if Linda told Vince, if anything ever goes public, we're done. I think that the first public accusation against Vince will be the end of it. I think we really can compare Bill and Hillary Clinton to Vince and Linda McMahon. The only thing about Vince and Linda, again, I have to bring it up, is we don't know if they were in an open relationship. There were a lot of rumors back in the day. If you think that I'm kidding, just Google in parentheses, open relationship, Vince, Linda McMahon. There was a lot of rumors back in the day that they had an open relationship. You have an open relationship, you know, you handle it accordingly. But if they did not have an open relationship, this could very well be, you know, now batting for Bill Clinton, number 76, Vince McMahon. So I think this could be like Hillary and Bill meets Linda and Vince. So, but to answer your question, I think don't be surprised if we find out if Linda told him the first time I find out or anything like this is public, we're done. All right. So with that said, we are out of here. So fun show tonight. I thank you as always for your support. On the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that like button. If you know anyone that you think would enjoy the channel, let them know. Spread the word. I don't ask that all that much, but I should do that a little bit more. And if you have any feedback, you know, how do you feel about the Vince stuff? You know, should we just let it play out, or, you know, he's done enough over the years that this is it, you know, gone. Or maybe you just feel like, hey, you know, he's a horny 73-year-old and it was consensual. I mean, you know, I respect whatever your feelings are in the matter. What I don't accept is people who will belittle others because their views on the matter are different. So, all right, everybody. I hope to see you tomorrow night, 8:05 p.m. Eastern for the sit down. If I look a little bit stiff tonight, I have a back brace that I have to wear. It's a long story, but it's a spinal issue. You know, the hits just keep on coming. But Tuesday is the day I meet with my doctor about my prostate issue. They will determine if I have to get surgery, if I could get the radiation, or if I postpone it until after my wedding, because we're going to be around children. You can't walk around with a radiation seed inside you and then be around children. So Tuesday will be the day. And to a few of my patrons out there, I was supposed to call Thursday night. Please forgive me. I'm going to do my best to try to call you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Father's Day, and, you know, I got to see what's going on. But if I get back early enough, definitely. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Be well. All the best. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And if you're around Sunday night for a little while, join me. And to all the dads out there, or to everyone, to your fathers, grandfathers, those that are still with us, those that are looking down, I wish you all a happy Father's Day. I know it's going to be harder for some out there, but just always remember the good times. So be well. Take care, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.